Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible said, the elders which are among you, I exhort. Now, we know who's speaking here. It's the Apostle Peter. And he's talking about talking to elders. If the Apostle Peter feels like his job is partially exhorting elders, don't you think it'd be our job too? That word exhort, it means to encourage. So lift them up. They're not finding fault. Not straightening them out. Not giving them a piece of your mind. I heard a gentleman say this past week, talking about his own preacher. He said, I just have to straighten him out every once in a while. I said, well, what a blessing you are. Really? I read one time about some youngins that was making fun of a preacher. I believe this would work for adults too. And a bear come out of the woods. I think everybody knows the rest of that story, don't you? I killed them. He killed them all. Sometimes we forget who we are. And we forget who the elders are. I like to see them older men of God that's been serving for a long time. Not so I can say something to them, Brother Leroy, but so I can learn something from them. Let's look. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And the Bible says, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He said, feed the flock of God. You know, that's a whole lot easier read than it is done. That's a whole lot easier read than it is done. I got old ideas that a lot of y'all are like me. I go to the grocery store sometimes when I should not. Anybody ever walked in there when you was already hungry? You go in there and get a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk. End up spending $129.95. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What a promise. What a blessing. Lord, I pray you to help me. God, I need you so bad. Thank you, Lord, letting us come back to church tonight. Thank you for letting us come together. Our family, our brothers, our sisters, a wonderful church family. Thank you for letting us be here. God, how I need you tonight to help me, Lord. I'll mess this up. If you don't do something, I'll mess this up, Lord. So I'm just asking you to help us. And say what you want said. Help me to forget anything that I want to say that you don't want said. And help me to remember and be able to see whatever it is you want. Because your sheep need to be fed. And Father, we'll thank you for it. We'll give you the glory for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Did I thank y'all? Did I thank you for being here tonight? I just want to thank you one more time. It means a lot to me. It really does. I love you, and I appreciate you, and I love seeing you at church. I want to look at this thought for a little while. I seem like I might have preached on this a year or so ago, 2-3 years ago. It may seem fresh because most of the time we don't remember from, or I don't. But I want to preach on a good example. A good example. You know, my pastor was a good example, a good example to me. My pastor was. He was faithful, and he took a stand. He stood for what was right. Many of you in here tonight, you have somebody that, whether it's somebody you work with or somebody that's a family member, it may be your spouse, it may be a parent or a grandparent, but somebody in your life was a good example. And you watched them, and man, I'm telling you, you took note to what they said. And you've treasured it, and you've used it. It's helped you. But the Bible says right here in the life of Simon Peter, he makes this statement. He said, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder." I'd like to say this. Simon Peter is showing us, number one, he is showing us some spiritual maturity as a shepherd. Some spiritual maturity as a shepherd. He said, "I also am a elder." Well, he knows that as an elder, one of the jobs that he has to do is to exhort and to encourage. You know, sometimes you come to church. I've been to church before. When I'm just going to be honest, I'm being honest out here. Just cut through all the stuff. There's times you come to church that you don't get nothing. But you came, and you obeyed. Not to me, but to the Lord. You obeyed, you submitted to the Lord, and you did right. And you might not have got nothing. And it might have been that the message that was preached just was not for you that day. But one day you came in here, and you were just blown out of the water. Brother Gary, Wednesday night you preached out of Psalms 119, I believe it was. Brother Mickey told me yesterday, he said, "I have read that 2 or 3 times a day ever since that, every day." It was just for him, and no doubt for others, but he's the one that bragged on it to me, and I'm thankful that you did. That encouraged me, Brother Mickey. And I'm thankful that God would give us something. What we see here tonight is Simon Peter showing us that he has some spiritual maturity. Maturity. That's something you don't see much anymore. You don't see maturity among young people no more. They'll not take it upon themselves to have that matureness of an adult. I mean, I'm talking, when I say young people, I'm not talking about teenagers. I'm talking about them that's already out of school, Brother Leroy. We don't see that no more. The maturity that used to be that whenever, by the time I graduated, I can remember several folks, when I got out of school, soon as we got out of school, they were several of them got married. I mean, they was looking for it. They said, looked forward to it and everything. I'm thinking, well, God bless you. Amen. I ain't seen nobody I can pay to even marry me, but finally my wife come along. Amen. Thank the Lord for that. But there's a lot of people in this day and hour. Maturity is something that is getting more and more and more scarce. I mean, it's getting hard to be able to find it. It's getting hard to be able to see it. You get folk on jobs nowadays, and on that job, the last thing you'll find is maturity. Now, you'll find complaints. You'll find foolishness, cutting up, having a good time. I mean, they come to play, and then they want you to pay. Now, they know Monday morning, and they know Friday afternoon. No maturity. Nothing in between all of that. But one thing that I found out, that when Simon Peter starts showing forth some of his maturity, it only comes forth whenever he himself became an elder. I promise you, I'm not. I'm not putting down young people. I'm not putting down young adults by no means. I'm just letting you know, it'll take a while for everybody, any man, any woman, to show forth some maturity. The word maturity, I looked it up, several definitions of it. And it is a state or the fact or period of being mature. Making mature decisions. Their experience, their maturity, their strong work ethics. You've got a job. How many of you young folk, just not long, you just got out of school, Peyton, I believe, and now you've got a job on the base? Man, it's time to shine. It's time to shine. You're at an age right now, you can secure positions, you can move up the ladder. Now, granted, you may have to wait on some people to die. I mean, when folk got a good job, they ain't going nowhere, but you're young. You got time. You can wait. Or else, let's hope and pray they retire, not die. Okay? But you can show some great, great work ethics between now and then. I mean, things that stand out that people are saying, I'm telling you, I don't know if you watch that guy or not, but he will do any job you give him. And I mean, he don't complain and he don't play around with all them players. Somebody help me. This is a thing that stands out in the work field. Simon Peter is showing some spiritual maturity. Three stages of maturity in life. The starting point in the Christian life. Three stages of maturity. The starting point. The day you got saved. The day you got saved. Now, if you ain't never been saved, you ain't started yet. But if you've been saved, there was a day for your starting point to develop as a mature Christian. There's the starting point. And then there's the developing time. That developing time can take a long time. It don't have to, but it could take a long time. It'll take a lot of mistakes, a lot of bumps and bruises. It'll take some things happening. You said, I never thought that was going to happen. But it's okay for it to happen because you're just developing. You're just developing. And then, of course, not only just the starting time and the developing time, but after that comes the maturing time. I hear my wife say one more time, if she has to give counsel to one more lady that has a husband that just don't help the wife very much, my wife uses the same example every time, and I'm just about tired of hearing it. Don't tell her I said that, but I'm just about, I've heard it enough, Brother Tracy, that I can quote her on it. Well, he never really grew up till he was in his 40s. So if you're married in here and your husband's only in his 30s, ask your wife not to go talk to my wife. Amen. We just took care of all of that, didn't we? But that's the truth, because most men don't mature mentally enough. They're still wanting to play. They still want to be on the team. They still want to have friends and a mature person does not give in to peer pressure, but makes decisions and forms relationships based on their own personal values. No, I ain't going over there. Well, come on. I mean, it's just us and the guys going. No, that right there is enough. Let me know. I don't need to be there. I got a wife. I told my friends, I could not tell you how many times, but Tim, I told my friends, I got a wife at home. They say, look, now before we got married, I played on the team, Bud Gary. I played on the softball team. I enjoyed it. We city league team, but I played on the basketball team. And we had a good time. But then I got married. I said, there ain't one of them stinking boys on that team that I'm wanting to smooch on. ain't one I'm wanting to kiss. And if I hang out more with them than I do her, she gonna say, go get one of the guys off the team. I said, boy, did I make a mistake right here. Amen. And hey, I'm saying that we ought not bypass that time of developing when that maturing time could help us to say, well, you know what? I mean, I do have obligations. I did say I'd take care of her. I really enjoy it. Some of y'all probably don't like this kind of stuff, but maybe if you do, I know Brother Dustin does. I like talking about investing. I ain't got nothing to invest, but if you got something to invest and you want me to invest it for you, I'd have a great time doing it. I'd smile the whole time. Amen. Win, lose, or draw, I'd have a good time. But my wife, all I got to do is start talking about that, and she's like, wah, 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 wah. She says, I won't hear none of that. And I thought, this is our future we're talking about right here. We're developing. Because we are one day going to be matured. That's old. And she said, hey, she said, let me tell you something. She said, did you promise one day that you was going to take care of me? I said, I did. She said, you promised that you would supply food, clothing, a place to live. All this stuff? I said, I did. She said, then do it, and I don't care about all the rest. Well, I mean, I guess that was enough said. I went and got on the lawnmower, praise God. Amen. Say what I want to out there. I can holler back at her if I, not that I would, but if I needed to, I could, and you know, nobody can't hear over that 23 horse. Y'all, the Toro, amen. I'm talking about Simon Peter is showing forth some good spiritual maturity as a shepherd. As a shepherd. Not as a man, but a shepherd. A shepherd. He said, the elders which are among you, I exhort. I want to encourage you. You can live for God. I know storms are coming. I know troublesome times are coming. I know this world's in a mess. I know we've got the worst leaders we've ever had in history. I even heard the other day, they have now developed something that has never, ever been developed in the history of mankind, to my knowledge. I don't know how you describe it. You know, some of y'all might can help me. You might have heard about it. They said they were going to put restrictions on the gun laws. Nobody heard about it. I thought, now here's the real trickster. The president's idea to do this. I thought when you go to buy a gun, don't you have to sign all kind of paperwork? I mean, isn't there all kind of, I mean, you just can't walk in there today. And if you're a felon, you can't walk in there at all. I didn't know that till one time I tried to help a felon get a gun. The man told me quick, he said, oh no, I ain't selling him one, I ain't selling you one either. I said, let's go. They might call the law on us. And I knew that one I was with, but he'd get us locked up for sure. I'm just saying sometimes we don't even realize how bad it is. The president came up with that good idea. He said, I'm going to let the vice president take care of it. I said, are you kidding me? That dang bad up there, dang, she can't spell vice president. I'm saying Simon Peter has taken on the responsibility of being a spiritual, matured shepherd. Everybody can't do that. As a shepherd, there have been times I've got aggravated. And I just have to bite my tongue. As a shepherd, there have been times I've been told things, Brother Gary, that I'm telling you cut me to the core. I wanted to say something, but I couldn't. Because they wasn't showing spiritual maturity. But I had to. That lets you know whether you are mature or not. a real mature person is not going to say everything that they think. A immature person is going to say everything that comes to mind. I read that out of a book, okay? That wasn't Edward Dixon. That was a gleaning. That was something besides HBO and Pac-Man and whatever all that stuff is. Somebody hit me right there. I'm talking about Simon Peter. He says, hey, I want to exhort y'all. I want you to keep going. I want you to keep serving. I want you to keep living for God. I want you to keep coming to church. I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to bail. I want you to stay in. I want you to be a good soldier of the cross. I want you to give God your life. I want you to serve the Lord. You can do it. You can do it. Just say, what about the days that don't feel like it? Just let them days be bygone days and keep on serving God. Keep on serving God. Say, how can I do it? Just say, I'm going to exhort somebody while they're exhorting me. I'm going to do it. Good example. Then I see in verse number 2 right here, Simon Peter is showing the spiritual ministry of a shepherd. We've seen the maturity, but I want to look at the ministry. Verse number 2, he said, the ministry of the shepherd, feed the flock of God which is among you. I have to be careful. I have to be careful, Brother Tim. A lot of times I might use a lot of examples that may not apply, but I really try. I try to use things that'll be a help to help you live as a Christian. I try to use examples, if I can, from the Scripture, from the Bible, as I look and I see how others have been examples of others. Simon Peter, the Apostle Paul was a great example for Timothy. I look at Elijah, how he was a great example for Elisha. There's examples after one, after another. And here Simon Peter is, and he says, hey, if you want to see some spiritual maturity, you'll have to see it in a shepherd as he ministers. He said, feed the flock of God. Feed them. Give them something. Feed them. Give them. I found out with feeding them, there's a whole lot more than standing right here. I was telling Jerry the other day, we was talking, and I think, but Gary, you know Brother Adam, don't you? Adam Veal? I'll say it right in a minute. Brother Adam, Jerry preached a message over there the other night, and I'm telling you, I'm not saying it because he's my son, but he preached a message that helped Adam Veal so much, he literally just sat there weeping. Just weeping. And after it was over, and I don't think Jared seen none of that. He done got in a big way, and he's stirring around there and everything. And we was going home. He says, talking about service. I said, oh, you helped with Adam tonight. He said, you think so? I said, I know so. I said, so when you got talking about, I said, that preacher was sitting up there weeping. When was the last time you said something to somebody that helped them so much that their heart was just got so full and just like, bah! That should be a ministry for us. I told him, I said, son, you don't understand. When you go into a church, you come into our church, I said, everybody that goes to church loves to see you. I said, but let me tell you who you're going to help the most. He said, who? I said, me. I said, when you walk into a church, you remember when you pastored, you needed to hear those men come in there and preach for you. I like to think once in a while I preach a message that might help you. Or you. Larry Seals is an old friend of ours one time. Larry's crazy as a runover dog. And you'd have to know him. He's from Tennessee. He couldn't pronounce most English words from Tennessee. He couldn't say pants. He'd say paint. I said, paint like paint on a wall? No, paints. Paints like you put on you. And his wife was the sweetest little lady, Sister Vicky. And she told him one day, she says, Larry, and he just preached. And she said, Larry, she says, sometime when you preach, you are a great blessing. I mean, just really a blessing. I'm sitting there going, huh. So when we got in behind closed doors, I said, hey, have I been a blessing to you? She said, yeah, a few times. I said, tell me about it. I can't remember right now. I thought, I ain't going to try to exhort her no more. Amen. I'm going to just try to exhort the people of God. I mean, the men of God. Amen. The people, she's not like she ain't one of them. I'm just saying right now, the ministry, the spiritual ministry of a shepherd. He said, I'm going to feed them. You know what I like to do, Brother Darnell? Every once in a while, I'll go to the store and I'll pick up like sweets of some type or another that I ain't supposed to eat. And I'll take them to the house. So I can give them to my grandkids when they come over. We went and got that chicken today. Cannon rode with me. Went and got that chicken. I said, let's go back here and look at these donuts. See, this is what you miss whenever you say, no, I'm just going to stay here, Pa. You go with me next time. Next time you're going to go with me, ain't you? You can go with me. I said, let's go look at these donuts. So we go back there and we look at them donuts and cinnamon rolls, Publix, and black coffee. Oh, Lord Jesus. Extra metformin. I said, let's get these right here. So he picked the box up. I said, what about some donuts? You want some donuts? He said, we've got these. I said, we can get donuts too. He said, oh, well, it's your money. That's exactly what he said. You know what I just tried to do? Just feed him. Something special. Something you don't eat every day. You know what the Lord tries to do for us once in a while? He just feed us. Something special. If you'll pay real close attention while you're driving down the highway, while you're on the job, while you're at the house, while you're in the yard, while you're watching your children, if you'll pay real close attention, God will give you real something special, a little nugget, that you can see the Lord Jesus Christ working through them, or whatever it is. Philip Keller wrote a book one time called Outdoor Moments with God. I recommend it. It's a treasure. We see the spiritual ministry of a shepherd. I want you to look and see something. You know, when the Lord called Peter, you know what he told him? He didn't tell him what all was going to happen in his life. He just said, first off, I'll make you a fisher of men. Anybody remember that? He said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. And when it ended up, he made him a shepherd of the sheep. Wasn't fishing no more. You know what he done though? He's shown himself faithful. He said, but he cussed. And, I know. And you did too. You did too. You blasphemed. You took the Lord's name in vain. You say, when did you hear me do that? Oh, worse than that. I did not hear you. But if you did it, if it did stir around in your heart, the Lord. You say, but Brother Edward, I'm just a human being. I know, and I am too. I'm not preaching on you about the sin of cussing. I'm not preaching on you about the sin of lying. I'm letting you know that God knows who we are and what we're made of. And what I'd like to stand up here tonight and say, thank you, Lord, for being so forgiving. Thank you, Lord, for just looking beyond my fault and seeing my need. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you remember that I'm just dust. Thank you, Lord. Peter shows some spiritual ministry as a shepherd. And then I want you to notice the last part of verse number 2. Peter shows the spiritual encouragement. He might even say motivation. The last part, he said, taking the oversight, in verse 2, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Not holding somebody down and say, hey, this is the kind of sheep I want you to be. You know, I can't make you the kind of sheep that you're supposed to be. I'm not going to try. Because I'm not going to try. That's between you and God. You can walk with Christ. You can have a fellowship that the Bible describes as perfect. Not just acceptable. Not just good, but perfect. You can have that kind of fellowship. I can't make you have that kind of fellowship. Anything that I would try to make you do, it would make you rebel. And you say, I ain't doing that. Who was he? You'd be on the phone so fast, that thing would have a fire on the other end of it. Who does that preacher think he is trying to make us do that? Listen, I have learned after these many years, I'm just tickled to death. People keep coming back and forth to church. Amen. Amen. Some looks happy. Some looks sad. Some looks like they enjoying the trip. Some looks like somebody had to hit them with a hot shot to get them out of bed this morning. Be like I seen these two farmers trying to load a hog one time, and the old hog walked up into the loading gate right there to the loading ramp, and a big old hog just got right in there and just stopped right there, and the man just slapping the hog, come on, get on up here. Come on. You ever been around hogs? You take a hog weigh 250 pounds, slap him, you ain't done nothing. But there's a fella come from out of nowhere with this long pole and goosed him in the backside with that thing, and you just that hog, whoa! And I mean, took off running and got to the top and stopped again, and the man hit him again, and that thing leaped up in there then. I mean, you can't do sheep like that. You can't do it. We're sheep. We're not hogs. We need love. We need compassion. And Simon Peter said they need feeding. Feeding. You know why a lot of people don't get fed? Because they're sitting up under a preacher somewhere that ain't studying. You ain't going to study no 5-minute message, no 15-minute message, no 20-minute message. I mean, I do know. We had a good time around here that one night that we give out a verse and everybody took and prayed. I enjoyed that. I want to do that again. That was a blessing to me. And I think everybody in the whole church enjoyed it, except for the ones that had to do it. And they was the ones that looked like the fear of God was set in on them right there. But even Brother Leroy was getting ready to get him a message over there. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful. Next time we'll get Brother Tracy up here, Brother Leroy. Don't you worry about it. Amen. Amen. Ashley says, hey, what you calling me? What you calling me? I had a message. I had a message the whole time. Amen. I'm saying it's different to shove something down somebody's throat than it is to feed them. And Simon Peter says, here's what you better do. I know we're going to exhort them. We're going to love them. And we're not taking them by constraint. He said, feed the flock of God. Amen. I watch old Brother Dan sit over here. I don't think he'll mind me telling this. I get to singing up here sometime, and I'm watching Brother Dan sitting over here. You can't see this sitting in the back. That's not my fault you sit back there. You can sit on the platform if you want to, just watch Brother Dan once in a while. And he sits back there, and I mean just weeping and pouring him tears out. And I couldn't tell me times he told me, he said, man, this morning, he said, man, that song right there blesses me so hard. He's about to break down, Brother Kerry. You know what? God was feeding him. And he wasn't using me. I'm trying to let you know that, just so you'll understand, that he ain't got to use you.
He used whatever he wants to. What a great Savior we have, Brother Darnell. What a great Savior. I want you, I'm really trying to hurry. I want you to notice this. In this text right here, in verse number 2, he says, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but for a ready mind. Two negatives and two positives. I was in Sunday school about, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? Brother John, wake up, I want to talk to you. Okay. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I got Brother John so confused, he don't know which way I'm going over here. A couple of weeks ago, in Sunday school, we were talking about negative and positive things. Remember that? In this text, there's two negatives and there's two positives. Negative. I think of something negative. I think of things that maybe discourages me. I think of things that might not be listed along the same line of exhortation. Negatives. He said, not by constraint, but what? Willingly. You say you can't make them go. Oh, yeah, you can make them go. You can make your children go to church. If you can't make your children go to church, you don't need children. My dad didn't have a problem saying, oh, you going. When I was out of school, he still felt like he had that kind of power and authority. Oh, you going. You going. He said, here's your option. You going to church or you going in that room and getting all your stuff because you ain't living here. You know where we're living now? We're living in an hour where there's teenage, young, teenage, 12, 13, 14-year-old kids arguing with their parents saying, you can't make me do that. Man. I knew a man that if I'd have told him that, he'd have had a heart attack long before he ever did. But I think he'd have come out of it and got on me. You say, how do you just, well, it starts when they're real young. Jennifer, when they're real young, you've got to teach them to submit. That's hard. At 3, that's hard. But it can be done. And you're going to have to work at it and work at it and work at it, but you can do it. If this one right here has a hard time, the word submission is not in his vocabulary. He might know what it is because he's heard it, but it can be worked out in time. Whoa. Whoa. He'll get it one day. He'll the understanding of the words, what I mean. I don't want to know about none of the other stuff that I can't stand to hear about this stuff no more. Come to my house, you want to discipline one, get in the car, go down the road. I can't handle it no more. Listen, don't you look in verse 3 what he says right here. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. You know what? There's a spiritual manner of shepherding. I never understood this. I told you about that gentleman that said he's got the pastor straightened out. Got the preacher straightened out. Why does people want to get people straightened out? You know what I have found out to be a truth? Brother Darnell, the people that's always wanting to straighten people out is people that need straightening out. We find fault with everybody else, but the real problem's in the mirror. That's it. Say, well, I just felt like I need to say something. No, you didn't. You was wrong. You was wrong. You was wrong. Say, well, that was at my house. Well, keep it at your house. Don't bring it to church. Don't bring it in here on these sheep. Don't try to tear up something that I've worked hard for. Not being a lord, but being an example. Being an example. I want you to notice this. Verse number 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the spiritual majesty. Now, I want you to know this chief shepherd. He's coming. It's not going to be one of these things like you're thinking, well, when the Lord comes back, we won't get to play checkers no more. Or when the Lord comes back, we won't be able to watch a football game no more. Or race. When the Lord comes back, we won't be able to go fishing no more. Everybody has got a question about those things they love so dearly. Can I tell you, when the Lord comes back, our heart's going to be so satisfied in Him. When we see Him, when we get the chance to be able to say, wow, that's who died for me. That's who took my place. I've often wondered this, and I know I'm crazy sometimes, but I've often wondered this, but Gary, when we see Him, will He let all those scriptures run through our mind of them prophesying in Isaiah about what all He went through? So we'll know that's Him. What a Savior. What a God. Man, I don't care. Hey, Bud Jeff, when we see Him, I don't care if every air conditioned world breaks. And I know you won't either. Hey, when we see Him, I don't care if the power company loses traction. I don't care if Tesla don't make another battery. When we see Him, I don't care if the Lord wants to announce, y'all should have bought a Ford. I mean, I won't care. I doubt He will. But when we see Him, we won't care about that. Cannon asked me today, he said, what's your favorite dream car? He's getting to that age. These boys like talking about these cars and everything. Now, I like that. And he said, what's your favorite car? I said, well, that depends. Are you talking about Chevrolet, Ford, or Dodge? That's what I told him. I said, now, if you're talking about a Chevrolet, I said, my first car was a 1972 Chevelle. I said, I'd like to have one of them. I'd like to have one. Anybody got one, let me know about it, okay? All right. I said, if you're talking about a Ford, I'd like to have a 1967 Fastback with a 347 stroker in it with a 5-speed transmission. That's just me. But if you're talking about a Dodge, a lot of people don't like Dodges. But I know there's some people, they do like Dodges. I'm tore up from the floor up between a 1969 Dodge Charger or a 1969 GTX. See that what I'm talking about? But I really don't think He's going to care about all that. I really don't think. Bible said that we'll know as we're known. He's going to know all the spiritual stuff about you. Because all the sinful stuff you've been forgiven of. All the spiritual stuff, He knows it. He knows what your heart longs for. He knows that whenever they get to singing, they sing that song. Your wife gets up there, she gets singing, you get back here and go to weeping. He knows how that blesses your heart. He might bring that out. And you're going to know that He knows it because you'll know as we're known. I'm just saying, Simon Peter said, can I, if you don't mind, I'd like to be your example. I want to be a model for you. I know I'm not a good one. But I wish, Brother Leroy, I wish I could be a good example for you as a Christian. But John, I really wish I could. I pray for that. I pray. Craig, I pray for this. I pray, God, please don't let me be a stumbling block to people. I want to talk to people. But Jeff, I want to encourage people. We went to buy chicken today, and I ended up witnessing to the woman at the chicken place. Now, you've got to look for something. To find something to witness about in Publix at the chicken counter. You got to be looking for something. So I was looking. God, give me something. Young lady standing up there waiting on us. She had a big old tattoo. And don't be mad at me because I mentioned the word tattoo. You mentioned the word tattoo in church. Most time people go, he's going to talk about tattoos and they got tattoos. Like, you're not telling me you got tattoos. I see them. I got brand new trifecta glasses or whatever I forget what you call them now. trifocals. Oh, I might have told them to feel proud. They're on the trifocals. Take that now. I'm sorry. Just no sinner save a grace over here. See, some of y'all didn't know what it was there, didn't you? She had a big old tattoo on her forearm of a revolver. Big old pistol. I said, ma'am, I said, do you mind if I ask you? I said, is that a 357 or a 44 Magnum? Did I say it, Kenna? And she just kind of laughed. She goes, 44 Magnum. I said, I thought it was. I said, I got a 41 Magnum. She said, I ain't never heard of one. I said, I got one. I said, it's a bear guide gun. Guides in Alaska used them. They were made just prior to the 44 Magnum. But the 44 Magnum come out with a movie with it. Mr. Callahan. Y'all know who Mr. Callahan was? They also called him Dirty Harry. This ain't no lie. That woman says, oh, I know what you're talking about. She said, go ahead, punk, make my day. I mean, in public. I'm just talking about looking for an opportunity to be a witness. Being a Christian is not all bad. Being a Christian is not all doom and gloom. Being a Christian is a challenge. I'm going to have tomorrow with some joy in my life. I'm going to have to work with that. I'm going to have to seek for that. I got to dig for that. But I'm going to do it. 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 I might have to work extra hard, but I'm going to do it. You can do it. You're going to have to quit feeling sorry for yourself. You're going to have to get off that party. Pity party. Thank you. I think it's a party stool, but I don't know what that is either. Praise God, I done messed up with the trifecta. I better leave everything else alone. Hey, he said, I'm your example. That's what I want to be. If you won't look for the flaws in me, you probably won't find none. I'm just trying to be a Christian example. Let's look for that in each other. Let's look for it in each other. Brother Gary gets up here and preaching the other night. He was looking for just a good example. Good preacher, good message. Amen. Thank the Lord. You Sunday school teachers, you be a good example. Don't go in there and act like you're mad at your children. Amen. Remember, I had to tell a man one time, this is Sunday school. This ain't a college class. I mean, you can overload any kind of wagon. Just Sunday school. Sunday school. Little kids. Little kids, Sister Faith. Just little kids. Don't make it where they dread coming in there hearing you. Be a good example. I think we can do it, don't you? I say let's do it. Let's do it. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for being a great example for us. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for Simon Peter. Good examples. God, I just ask you now, if you would, that you'd help us to be that same kind of example for others. God, that we can serve you with a good spirit and hope that, God, that knowing that you're coming soon, the chief shepherd, we're looking forward to seeing you, Lord. Looking forward to seeing you. Thank you for the way you take care of us. Thank you for this church and this good people. Have your way now. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen and amen.